KFMB.com.
And now, Talk Radio 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with your hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening and welcome to another edition of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer. Welcome to KFMB 760, 50,000 watts of power. We're being heard all over Southern California at night here, not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, Riverside County, all the way up the coast. I'm told up to Seattle. Isn't that true? Richard, let me introduce our co-host, who is the illustrious CPA and family office advisor, Richard Musio. Richard, good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thank you. How are you? And yes, it's true. Well, I have a friend who lives in Richmond, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle, and sometimes he's able to actually hear us on a Sunday night.
Huh. So that's great. We're a real blowtorch.
So I can't say we get heard in Seattle, but we do get heard in Richmond.
Well, I have it on record from the resident programming genius Dave Sniff that we do get heard in Seattle on a good night. And every night with us is a good night, but I can't speak for all the shows.
So we've got some special guests tonight. Our major sponsor, of course, is UBS. We have one in studio and one on the phone. In studio, we have Mr. Michael Corwanta, and Michael was kind enough to hook us up with Mr. Tony Roth, who's in New York City. Tony, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, great. How are you, Tony?
I'm well.
Good. Hey, Tony, I got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was over in Point Loma last week.
Right.
Having lunch over at the Yacht Club.
Yep.
And somebody
my
was...
my friend Dennis Connor over there?
Well, no, but I was talking to somebody who's a good friend of Dennis's, and they were talking to me about something that happened last year called a hot rum race. Were you somehow involved in that? Because somebody suggested that you were.
Yeah, I was an inert object on the stern of the boat, and Dennis was able to sail through the entire fleet. It was a race that the way they do it, the slowest boat starts first and the fastest boat starts last, and the whole race takes about 3 hours. And we started about an hour and a half after the first boat, and there were about 120 boats. We sailed past everybody, and about a boat length away from the finish line, we passed the last boat, the one that had started first or thereabouts.
Wow. And was Drew Freedies with you guys?
Drew was, yep.
Okay. Yeah, Drew was also with UBS, and he actually sailed with Dennis, I guess, in two of the America's Cups, going from memory.
That's right.
When did they lose it, and when did they win it back? That didn't all happen here. When was in Fremantle, right?
I want to say they lost it in 83, and they won it back in 85 or 6.
Yeah, I think
but I may be off by one cycle.
Yeah, it might have been 87, but anyway, yeah, you're real close. But anyway, yeah, so I heard that story that some UBS guys were out with Dennis, and despite that, he won the race. I'm just kidding.
I know, right? Well, I was just extra weight. I was what they call dead weight.
Dead weight, yeah. That's too funny. So you're going to do that again this year? Do you have to defend the crown, so to speak?
Yeah, well, they already had it, and I wasn't able to get out for that particular race, but Dennis was kind enough to invite me add my perspectives and value to a different race. So
okay.
I think I'm going to try to get out for another race later in the year.
Why do they call it the hot rum race? Is there a reason?
I don't know. It must be a sponsor or something like that.
I know they have beer races, too, once in a while.
I can tell you that the social life around sailing heavily revolves around alcohol.
Ah, okay.
So, maybe they have...
We do have to switch to alcohol off of...
You know, colada race. They've got all kinds of different things.
But we should probably tell our guests, Tony, what you do and who you are. So I'm going to do just a brief description. I know you head up the manager and fund due diligence portfolio advisory group, portfolio strategy and group and wealth planning teams. You assist portfolio strategy and wealth planning teams then to deliver, the wealth management solutions that UBS provides to their clients. So in a sense, I guess you could say that you are designing the appropriate portfolios or allocations of portfolios that the clients then will have with advisors such as Michael Corwanta and Drew, who we also mentioned. And but, so you've got a really interesting job because there's no pressure, right?
Oh, none at all. The clients really aren't very interested in how we do. They're just interested in how nice we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Michael, can you introduce yourself since you're in studio live with us?
Yes,
and your team, too, please.
My name is Michael Corwanta, and
Drew Freitas, Mike Kanerg, and I, we serve family offices, high net worth individuals and executives in San Diego, Greater Southern California, nationally, and as Drew likes to say, wherever there's water.
Yeah, we definitely have a water and sailing theme to this show. Hey, Tony, can you tell us a little bit about your background, your education, how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Well, it's a bit of a circuitous path. I went to Brown University undergrad and decided to major in philosophy and somehow ended up at Harvard Law School because I didn't know what to do with the philosophy degree. So I had to stay in school to learn something. And then I fell in love with a French girl and moved to Paris for 3 years and went to law school over there and did a Fulbright over there. Then came back and worked at a law firm in New York for a while. And then from there, transitioned over to, I was a tax lawyer and focused on tax issues for individuals, primarily income tax. But that gave me essentially a lead into Sanford Bernstein, which is a well-known money management shop that historically had focused on value investing. And so I did that for a while. And then I was at Bear Stearns, running their wealth management services area, and then came over to UBS to be the chief investment officer of the ultra high net worth business about 4 years ago.
And so what you do, so you're not necessarily doing research. I know we had Katie Klingensmith on recently, and I would describe her as somebody who does research. So what you're doing essentially is you're taking research that's coming from different people, different departments, and trying to distill that down and do practical operational advice for UBS managers. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And in other words, when one looks at the research, not only internally, but also externally, particularly in an environment like this where there's a lot of uncertainty, at some point the research starts to look like a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a skill set in and of itself to be able to filter that research, identify the high conviction important expressions of ideas, if you will, on different economic and market areas around the world, and then be able to translate that into recommended action for clients within their portfolios.
Okay, and Michael, can you comment on how you take what then Tony distills for you? You may be repeating what he just said, but I'd love to hear it, you know, from your viewpoint, since you're sitting there on the street every day working, you know, directly with the clients.
Well, we get the strategy guidance from Tony, and they help us crystallize highly customized solutions for clients. They're timely, nimble. They provide us tactical investment ideas to take to them for constantly changing market leadership. And Tony's group is just a tremendous partner for us in helping educate multiple generations of, you know, families we deal with, and helping guide them and structuring their decision-making process, both with the financial world as well as everything social on their side of the fence also.
So, Tony, you used one of my favorite words. You said uncertainty.
Yep.
I assume you're referring to many different things, but included in that is probably both income tax and estate tax uncertainty.
Yeah, in fact, I think that the uncertainty around taxes is going to actually manifest itself in financial markets a lot more strongly as we get towards the summer.
Well, yeah, let me just sort of back up, tell our listeners what we're talking about. Right now, we have a set of tax rules here in 2012 that are set to expire. Not all of them, but many of them, many important ones, are set to expire at the end of this year. And in 2013, we don't necessarily know what our tax rules will be. This is both income tax and estate tax. Some major examples. Right now, long-term capital gains are taxed at a maximum rate of 15%. That could be higher next year. You may have heard of the Bush tax cuts, or the sunsetting of the Bush tax cuts. That's exactly what I'm talking about here, that all of that stuff that came in about 12 years ago was due to expire at the end of this year. So investors who own stocks that they've held for more than a year, they don't necessarily know what the tax rules will be next year. It may be 15%. So much will probably depend on the election. And we may not even know by the end of the year what the rules are in 2013, so it's a little bit scary. Also, the 15% tax rate on qualified dividends. Will that stay the same? Will it go up to ordinary rates? The maximum ordinary rate right now is 35%. Next year, if the Bush tax cut sunset, it'll be 39.6%. I would agree all of this will influence investor behavior and maybe have effects on values of asset classes. So I want to talk more about that when we come back from the break.
Yeah, we have to take a short break right now, and we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
The leaders in talk radio. Mike Slater.
I have a feeling that you're a Slater Crusader.
Glenn Beck.
A leader will remind people who they are.
Sean Hannity.
Conservatism is literally our path to prosperity and success.
Roger Hedgecock.
There's now two classes of people in this state. One class has to obey the law, and the second class doesn't have to obey any of the laws.
Mark Levin.
I don't care if you've been listening to talk radio since 5 this morning. Stick with me.
Follow them here. San Diego's talk radio leader. 760 KFM.
Hey, it's John from MojoPages.com. A lot of my friends have told me they've heard our commercials on 760 KFMB about how we make it fast, easy, and reliable for you to find the best local businesses. But they're still a little confused about what a business's mojo is. Mojo can mean a lot of different things, like Austin Powers used it to attract the opposite sex. It also describes a magical charm in African folklore. But for us, mojo is a score that we give to every business that ranks them from best to worst. So we can use this score to tell you who the number one dentist is in San Diego, the number one restaurant, the number one plumber, etc. We get the mojo score by analyzing over 3 million customer reviews, and that's more than just about any other review site. We take all these reviews, we put them through a crazy mathematical algorithm, and it spits out the mojo score for each business. Go ahead and try it for yourself at mojopages.com. Hey, it's totally free, it's easy to use, and it'll help you find a great business. Go to mojopages.com. Check Mojo, then go.
Lois and Kenneth Heath of La Jolla love to entertain in their home. Maracal Design and Remodeling added a whole new dimension to their recent holiday party, which both the hosts and the guests appreciated.
Every Christmas we have a huge party. We had approximately 80 in attendance this year, and they loved the kitchen. Maracal did so great on the kitchen. The extra room in the backyard provided some additional entertainment space.
The new kitchen gave us more efficiency, more usable space for entertaining large scale. The design of the kitchen makes it so that I, as the cook, am still a part of the party. Maracal made sure that I would not be isolated, so I could be a part of it while I'm still entertaining and performing the chef duties.
Transforming homes for more than 30 years and honored with a Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. Maracal Design and Remodeling, 619-441-9300, 619-441-9300, or online, trustyourhometous.com.
If you have diabetes, then you know your meter is your lifeline. Luckily for you, new meters are more accurate and are easier to use. And if you're covered by Medicare, when you call Arriva Medical and enroll, we will provide free delivery of your new meter. Medicare patients may even qualify to have all their supplies fully covered with no out-of-pocket costs. We'll even bill Medicare for you directly. There are no upfront costs, and the supplies will be delivered right to your door for free. Yes. Free home delivery. Call now and find out why thousands of diabetics are calling Arriva Medical. If you're covered by Medicare and you want to learn how to receive free delivery of a new meter and testing supplies when you enroll, call this number now.
800-917-8672. 800-917-8672. 800-917-8672. That's 800-917-8672.
We lead. You follow. They get out of the way. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Live from New York, it's Tony Roth. Welcome back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. We're in studio. We have Michael Quaranta from the La Jolla office of UBS. And in New York, we have Tony Roth from the UBS office there. Back to Richard and you gentlemen.
I like that song, right? From New York. I mean, that's good. But so, okay, so Tony, we're talking about uncertainty. So let me ask this in the context of asset classes. If I'll phrase the question this way. If long-term capital gains rates increase from 15%, if qualified dividend rates increase up from 15%, asset classes that I can think of that would be effective that are very obvious are things like equities and real estate. And I'm going to make one other comment about income tax and estate tax uncertainty. I don't know that it's as obviously we all prefer a 15% rate over a 20% rate. But to me, at least with the clients that I work with who are very wealthy families, there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. I think one reason is if we could just know what the tax rules would be, say, for the next 10 years, whether it's 15% or 20, whatever it is, if we just knew that for the next 10 years, it would really help us to make decisions and to act more intelligently with our investment choices, because we actually know what the tax regime is for more than just the next 8 or 9 months. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the uncertainty that exists coming from the federal government impacts not only investors, but also effectively businesses. One of the reasons that we're not seeing more job creation, for example, is that a lot of companies around the country are reticent to hire in an environment where the regulatory environment has a lot of uncertainty associated with it.
Although the recent news has been pretty good, though, right, Tony, as far as the labor numbers?
Well, they've been good relative to where they were. They're not good relative to what we would expect them to be,
right?
Given the amount of time that's passed since the time that the recession ended. So we would expect at this point to have seen better GDP and better employment numbers, and we haven't, because we have a significant amount of delevering occurring in the economy, where you're seeing private balance sheets, households spending less money, taking on less debt, et cetera. And so it's certainly going in the right direction, but most forecasts, even the high end of forecasts, are showing fairly moderate recovery rather than a robust recovery, which is what you'd expect after a pretty deep recession.
Yeah, the other thing I'm seeing, not only hiring choices, but also decisions surrounding, shall we say, acquiring or making capital investment, new equipment and so on. Do we have 100% bonus depreciation? Do we have 50% bonus depreciation? Is bonus depreciation going away? You know, it's not just employment. I think it's also capital decisions that businesses aren't necessarily willing to move on right now.
Yeah, I think that there's uncertainty throughout the whole system, and I think that's holding back some companies. But I do think that as we get continued momentum here in economic surprises to the upside, I do think at some point we're going to start seeing business leaders essentially capitulate to this increase in economic activity and start to hire more aggressively. So I am somewhat optimistic that we may get a better trend here than we've even had on employment. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I think it's directionally fairly stable.
How do you gentlemen assess the move now in green technology? You know, I just found out the other day that San Diego is the number one city in California for solar installations. It seems to be growing out here. Anytime there's a technology transfer, there's always seems to be new economic opportunity. What's your feeling on all of that?
Well, I can tell you that the energy space is a pretty interesting space right now. The biggest thing actually that's driving the opportunity within the energy space really is shale. So the story around how we resource our country from an energy perspective has radically changed as a result of shale gas and shale oil. And that's causing ripples throughout the entire energy space. And quite frankly, it's actually a negative implication for green energy, because when we have gas trading at just over $2 for the standard unit, which is essentially a multi-decade low. And the reason for that is that we have so much new gas coming online from the fracking around shale. It means that the market is far more competitive. It's much more of a buyer's than a seller's market. And that's not good for green energy.
Right.
So there's a lot of opportunity in the energy space, but not necessarily in the short term, at least, are the best opportunities within the green space, in our view.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me get back to uncertainty. I work with extremely high net worth families, so estate tax is something we're always very concerned about. Certainly, there's extreme uncertainty in the estate tax arena, also, again, because of the possible sunset of the Bush tax cuts.
Yep.
Right now, this year, you can give away $5 million or die with $5 million, and there's no estate or gift tax on that. If you go above that, the marginal rate's only 35%. If Bush tax cuts sunset, that would be a $1 million exemption for both estate and gift with a 55% marginal rate. And President Obama, last month, in his budget proposal, suggested that we have a $3.5 million death exemption, but only a $1 million gift exemption with a marginal rate of 45%. So I've already confused everybody listening just by throwing all those numbers out. Imagine how my clients feel when I try to explain that.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Now, the other thing that's interesting is with a $5 million exemption, It's only projected that 3,300 taxpayers who died in 2011 will actually owe any estate tax. So you have to also ask the philosophical question, should we have a tax regime where there's only 3,300 taxpayers? So some commentators, I heard Jeffrey Pinnell down at Heckerling say that he thinks there's a 25% chance estate tax could actually get repealed, maybe depending on the election. So how do you counsel people, Tony, with all of this confusion over the estate tax?
Well, I think that we're in an environment where the government needs to raise money anywhere it can. And that's largely true regardless of whether we have a Democratic or Republican president. Now, obviously, the Republican president's going to want to repeal the estate tax, but it's never been able to achieve that. Certainly, Bush couldn't get it done. I wouldn't expect that a Romney or Santorum would get it done either. So what we do is we tell clients that they should plan on having a very meaningful estate tax for the foreseeable future, decades out. We don't believe that there's much of a likelihood of having a scenario where the exemption goes higher or the rate comes down or we don't have any estate tax at all. And so this is actually one of the probably most unique planning opportunities that I've ever seen for wealthier clients to take advantage of the fact that we have today $10 million gift tax exemption, which, as you point out, may well go down to $2 million at the end of this year, even if the estate tax exemption doesn't come down by quite as much. And so what we think clients should be doing basically transferring any assets they can out of their estate to take advantage of that $10 million gift tax exemption prior to December 31st of this year. That removes not only the assets themselves, but also any growth or appreciation on those assets, of course. And one very effective use of assets that you move out of your estate is to buy life insurance with them. So a lot of what our clients are doing is they're creating trusts that go on in perpetuity, states like Delaware, et cetera, and they're funding them with $2, $3, $4, $5, $10 million using this exemption amount, and they're turning around and buying a multiple of that in survivorship life insurance for themselves and their spouse. And essentially they're setting up their children to get a fair amount of money, ultimately free of gift and estate tax.
Yeah, I tell people using up the gift exemption if you're that high net worth is a free shot, because it's never been better than it's been right now in terms of being $5 million. Of course, it's only been the last 3 years or so that the gift exemption and the estate exemption have been the same. I mean, back in the days of $1 million exemption and 600,000 exemptions, they were the same. But, back when we had a $3.5 million death exemption, our gift exemption was only $1 million. So to have $5 million gift, $5 million death, to me, it's a free shot. You should just take advantage. The other reason why is there might, in the future, especially if President Obama gets reelected, there might be a tax on valuation discounts from the administration, as well as on certain other techniques that we use to transfer wealth, like grant to retain annuity trusts, because President Obama has always had valuation discounts as one of his sort of side agendas as it relates to estate gift and trust reform. And right now, we do a good job on valuation discounts, but if that was ever legislated, that's an opportunity that goes away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall, this is my own perspective, obviously, but it doesn't look like, given the economy right now, the momentum we have in the economy, it looks like it's going to be tough. Not impossible, but it's going to be tough for whoever the GOP candidate is to unseat the president.
Yeah, UBS research indicates they're predicting a win for President Obama, but the Republicans, they think, might get a narrow majority in the Senate. So I guess gridlock is being predicted right now, but I guess... Anyways,
well, I mean, I guess depending on your outlook, gridlock, certainly from the outlook of taxpayers that are at the high end of the scale, gridlock is probably preferable to, a stronger socialist type of government.
Great. Well, let's hold it right there. We have to take a break, Tony. We'll be right back after news, sports and weather with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Conversation. Follow along. San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Slater Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry. So my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper's on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give him a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
The spring in your wallet at Casino Palma. Win up to $25,000 cash in our Spring Into Cash $150,000 giveaway. Every Sunday and Wednesday through April 25th, you can win thousands when you spin the wheel to see how much cash the Jack in the Boxes give you. Plus, get jumping with more winning when Pop goes the hot seat. 20 winners grab $150 in Palma Play and extra entries into our grand finale drawing. Sunday, April 29th, 12 lucky winners choose a Jack in the Box and crank open a huge prize. Up to $25,000. Cash. Want more Pop? Join the club that pays to play. New Palm Club members get $20 in Palma Play. Only at Casino Palma, your casino. Highway 76, just 12 miles east of I-15. Must be 18 years or older. Visit CasinoPalma.com for more information.
If you could pay only $3 a gallon for gas by installing a free gas pump at your home, would you do it? Well, Baker Electric Solar can't give you a magic gas pump, but we can let solar work its magic for you. There are no upfront installation costs. You just get a lower monthly payment for clean solar energy than you pay now to your utility company, and it never goes up. Baker Electric Solar will give you a cool new iPad plus a $100 gas card when you sign up by April 30th to install solar at your home. Baker Electric Solar is a company with a 74-year history and San Diego's first elite SunPower dealer, the planet's most powerful solar. With Baker Electric Solar and the amazing SunPower lease, for no money down on approved credit, you get the best installer, the most powerful solar panels, and a low monthly payment for solar that will never go up. Sign up now and get a new iPad plus a bonus $100 gas card, something we can all use. Call 877-5-GET-SOLAR to get a free estimate. That's 877-5-GET-SOLAR or click Baker Electric Solar.
No one is happy about needing dental implants, but one thing is certain. If you do need them, you can be happy you live near San Diego, because that's where Dr. Peter Helwig is. Dr. Helwig has been practicing dentistry in San Diego since 1969 and is one of the very few California dentists who performs custom endosteal implants. It's an elegant procedure. There's a CAT scan made of your mouth. A cast is made. Then there is a single surgery to insert the custom implant. But the beauty of going to Dr. Helwig is that everything is performed right there in one office, his office. No one comes close to having his experience and level of expertise. The results are life-changing. Not only can you bite like you used to, apples, nuts, anything, but the resulting smile can improve your appearance and attitude remarkably. To find out more about the custom endosteal implant procedure or to schedule a free consultation, call Dr. Helwig now, 619-993-6505, 619-993-6505. That's 619-993-6505. Most insurance accepted.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Here's a lady who just doesn't give up. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories that we're following. Well, a woman who had her purse snatched at a taco shop in Bonita didn't like it, and she actually gave chase to her assailants. Police say she did end up finding them in Spring Valley. They did arrest the driver, and they got her purse back. Well, about 200 people attended last night's candlelight vigil at Santana High School in Santee. They were remembering the two teenagers who were killed in Wednesday's freeway racing crash on Highway 52.
Well, the cost for a gallon of gas in the county, it fell 0.8 cents today for the 11th day straight. It's now selling for $4.27 per gallon on average. That's about 4.5 cents less than last week. News brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. No microwaves, no freezers, because fresh never gets old. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. In weather, right now it's mostly cloudy and 64 degrees at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Padres beat the Dodgers today 8-4. They won their first game, but they did lose 3 of 4. They play the Diamondbacks Monday at Petco. Glenn Beck is coming to San Diego. Get tickets at 760KFMB.com.
Investigators in Tulsa will look at the Facebook pages of two murder suspects as they put together their case. The two white men are jailed in connection with a shooting spree Friday that left 3 African Americans dead. Police Chief Chuck Jordan.
You could look at the facts of the case and certainly come up with what would appear to be a logical theory, but we're going to let the evidence take us where we want to go. There are other motivations than race sometimes in these kinds of incidents, and we're going to look at all of it.
A city councilor says he has no doubt the shooting spree was racially motivated. North Korea vows to push ahead with a long-range rocket test later this month. The U.S. and other nations are warning Pyongyang not to do it. Talks begin Friday on Iran's nuclear program. President Obama has signaled the U.S. might accept a civilian nuclear program in Iran if the country vows never to pursue a nuclear weapon. CBS plans a 60 Minutes tribute to Mike Wallace next Sunday. The 93-year-old died at a Connecticut care facility Saturday night. I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow Mark Levin tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
The only force for liberty in this country is us.
We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And now we have Richard and Michael and Tony from New York. We're talking with UBS. Good evening.
And in addition to thanking our sponsor, UBS, I also want to thank our other sponsors. That would be the CPA firm of Polito Epic Associates, Don Epic and Paul Polito, CPAs, Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited, and, of course, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. So speaking of legacy, Tony, I know a lot of the work that UBS does with high net worth families and what we call family offices, which are extremely high net worth families, centers around not only estate and gift and trust planning, but something that sort of goes beyond that. It might be described as philanthropy. It might be described as family governance. It might be described as legacy. But the point is, it goes beyond merely trying to reduce estate tax and moves to a level of trying to incorporate overall holistic planning for many, many members of very high net worth families who are incorporating, for example, philanthropic goals and objectives into their income tax plan, their estate plan, and their life. I believe that's something that you guys spend a lot of time on simply because it's so relevant to very high net worth families. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of our practice. As we like to say in the industry, ultimately, you can't take your wealth to the grave, and it has to end up going to either your children, the government, or charity. So pick your choice there. And a lot of folks don't, they want to limit the amount of money that goes to their children at a certain point. And so then it becomes a choice between the government and charity, and that's a pretty clear choice.
Yeah, and family governance, for listeners who haven't heard this term, a lot of people think about how do I get my money ready for my family, but family governance is really about how do I get my family ready for my money or my assets or my business or all of the things that we've accumulated in terms of the wealth building process. And in many cases, I think there's an overemphasis on getting the money ready for the family when the family isn't necessarily yet ready for the money. So, Tony, you mentioned, for example, using a dynasty trust, combining it with life insurance. Of course, the dynasty trust can also be used to protect beneficiaries from themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the probably the largest, most common creditor out there is a spouse or an ex-spouse. And so by having assets transferred to the benefit to children or grandchildren or whatnot for their benefit in a trust rather than directly to them, those beneficiaries are protected from their partners, if you will, ability to actually go out and get their assets.
Yeah, but two of the most feared words here in California are community property. I'm referring to divorce.
Yeah.
So trust work very well. I know New York's not a community property state, but California certainly is. And so we use a lot of trust planning to plan against that. Well, I was going to say possibility, but here in California, since over 50% of marriages end in a divorce, I'm going to say that likelihood.
We have an interesting situation in New York. They recently revised the the divorce law, we were the only state in the country, including California, where if you wanted a divorce in New York, you had to prove cause.
Okay.
You couldn't go out and get a divorce if you wanted one unless you could prove that your spouse either was, as they say, sleeping with somebody else or at least wasn't sleeping with you.
Yeah.
and now that's changed. But one of the things that they did when they changed that law was they changed the way that alimony works, or in temporary alimony. And now the law is set up so that a lot of folks that are in the process of getting divorced find themselves in a situation where the amount of alimony and child support that they're required to pay to their spouse is a multiple of the amount of after-tax monthly income that they receive.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting.
Wow, that's a big change.
Yeah, it's actually considered to be more onerous, not necessarily from an overall division of property standpoint, but from an alimony standpoint. We're now worse than California.
Yeah, because alimony is a real challenge. Because, you know, out here in California, I know some clients who pay alimony, and entrepreneurs are very successful families. Their income tends to go up and down depending on economic cycles, whether they're starting a new company or getting, you know, selling a, you know, things change so much. So it can be a real struggle because, you know, you've got this huge alimony payment. Now you want to start another startup.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, we're a good example as well. Those of us on Wall Street where compensation for many is not what it was at the time that they might have actually been separated.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Whatever happened to prenups?
Well, let's move to a more pleasant topic.
death in Texas.
Yeah, I've been married for 48 years. I've been married to my wife for 24, and she's been married to me for 24, so that's 48. But moving right along.
Spoken like a good CPA.
So Tony, when we talk about family governance, so UBS will actually assist families with, for example, developing value statements, mission statements, other things to help them overlay over all of their assets a game plan or a roadmap about how things should work for the family, correct?
Yeah, we have a concept that we call a virtual family office, and by that what we mean is that we'll provide a lot of the intellectual capital that goes into defining mm-hmm. those types of ideas or those framing concepts in governing documents, as opposed to a real family office, which typically does things like accounting services and bill pay and concierge and dog walking and whatnot. We don't do any of those things, but we provide sort of the best approaches that we see the largest families really around the world engaging in order to both prepare the wealth for the family and the family for the wealth, as you very well said.
Yeah, Mark Twain once said that the bad thing about going on a diet is you have to eat what you don't like to eat, drink what you hate drinking, and do what you hate doing, which is exercising. And I tell people it's the same story on family governance. You have to do what you don't want to do, which is have meetings, spend time with who you don't want to spend time with, which is your kids, and pay people you don't want to pay, which is your professional service advisors. But be that as it may, I still think family governance is an extremely critical part of any high net worth family's approach to managing wealth, especially as generations, as we move along generations, and you go from maybe two, you know, a patriarch or a matriarch to three kids to seven grandkids to 18 great-grandkids, you know, all of a sudden you have 100 family members that are participating in family wealth. And in many cases, that contributes to the dissipation of the family wealth as there are more and more beneficiaries in the pool.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that we also do with generational planning is we try to create foundations that are in the family's name. And we try to involve some of the younger generations in the actual process of deciding how to give the money away, if you will, transfer to charity over time. And it's not just focused on trying to get the work done, but it's focused on trying to impart to the younger generations a value system that will enable them to be productive human beings, apart from the fact that they may be inheriting significant amounts of wealth.
Yeah, I found that a lot of beneficiaries of our high net worth families are extremely talented people, but they never had to, like all of us in the studio and you back there in New York, ever had to go out and actually get a job out of college or out of graduate school to make ends meet because they've been very well provided for. So in many cases, their very positive talents aren't being fully employed or utilized. And so, you know, as a human being, they might not be thriving because they aren't really contributing to anything meaningful, yet they really want to because they have the intelligence, the passion, the desire. They just never had to really find that focus. And so in many cases, centering that through a philanthropic effort, such as through a family foundation, I think can really help younger generations thrive and achieve a lot more meaning personally, not just financially, but in terms of the relationships, what they do in the community and how they participate as community leaders. So that can be a really powerful tool, I think, to give meaning to younger beneficiaries.
Boy, we have to take a break right there, Richard, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after these short announcements.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
I've made my choice. I know what side of the line I'm on. Anybody who wants to join, you join me on this side of the line, because I'm going down swinging. This administration and their thugs will put you out of business and crush you and your American dream for generations to come. And I have a right to say it. Talk radio is not going to be destroyed. My freedom of speech will not be impaired.
Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760. KFMB.
Are you over the age of 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds? If so, the next 60 seconds are crucial to your well-being, because Sensa is sending 30-day free trials to anyone looking to lose the maximum amount of weight. To experience the most dramatic weight loss results, you must be over the age of 25 and want to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-400-4461 now and request your free 30-day trial of Sensa in a 6-month clinical study, one of the largest ever conducted of its kind. Participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa, and now you can too. This weight loss breakthrough does not require added exercise or a change in your lifestyle, but act now. Due to overwhelming demand, there is a strict limit of 1 per household. Again, if you are over 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds, it is crucial that you write down this number for your free 30-day trial of Sensa. Call 1-800-400-4461. That's 1-800-400-4461.
Mike Slater has been singing the praises of Point Loma Electric owner and master troubleshooter Jim Dent and his skilled team of electricians as the older home specialists. They have been serving San Diego since 1988 and are among the few electricians who specialize in upgrading older home electrical systems. Now, if your home was built before 1985, chances are your old fixed wiring is on overdrive and unable to accommodate the modern appliances of today, potentially placing your home at risk for a house fire. If you've been thinking about calling Point Loma Electric and you haven't done it, now is your chance. For a limited time only, take advantage of their spring electrical safety inspection for only $89. That's a $70 savings to you. Some restrictions may apply. This offer will not last, so take advantage while you still can, especially if your home was built before 1985. Now, who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672, 619-224-0672, or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
Diabetes and high blood pressure go hand in hand. In fact, 60% of diabetics have high blood pressure. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease and stroke in many diabetics. You can effectively manage your high blood pressure the same way you manage your diabetes, by testing. For a limited time, Diabetic Health Agency is offering a free 2-in-1 monitor that checks both your blood sugar and blood pressure. That's right, test your blood sugar and blood pressure at the same time when you join our program. This special offer is available to diabetics that have Medicare or private insurance. So now you can get the state-of-the-art blood glucose monitor and blood pressure machine in one device delivered to your home at little or no cost to you. If you're a diabetic and you're covered by Medicare or private insurance, call the Diabetic Health Agency today and get your free 2-in-1 monitor. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. That's 800-819-8329.
San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Stretch here with It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Now back to Richard, Michael, and Tony.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Michael, I want to ask you a question. You talk a lot about thought leadership and how UBS sort of contributes to thought leadership. Can you explain that? Because I love the term thought leadership. It's one of my favorite terms, and I stole it from you guys.
Well, thought leadership is kind of a result of the combination of partnering with our internal strategists and economists, as well as the external consultants that we partner with, and joining with meeting with families and structuring solutions with them. And so we try to bring the best of the best together, and not to steal Ronald Reagan's thunder, but be a good quarterback and bring the right specialists in to, you know, get it right for folks the first time.
Yeah, it's a great term, great concept, and it gets down to the importance of collaboration. I know for very high net worth families, they're surrounded by multitudes of professional service advisors, business attorneys, estate planning attorneys, wealth managers, life insurance specialists, trustees. And in many cases, those professionals aren't necessarily collaborating or finding ways to communicate among themselves to get the best result for their clients. And that's the great thing about UBS is they really promote that kind of collaborative approach. And I think that works so much better in terms of the results that families get, whether you're extremely high net worth or just a regular family worth $1 million or $2 or $3 million. I think collaboration becomes the key with your professional service advisors. Tony, I want to get back because we were talking about foundations. Do you think there'll ever be any restrictions? I know given all this uncertainty in the tax code and the estate tax code, do you think there's ever going to be a challenge to, for example, deductibility of charitable contributions or what might go to a private foundation? Because I've heard President Obama suggest that we might want to consider an approach in the tax code of limiting certain types of deductions.
Yeah, I think that there are, I think that the tax code itself is the most, and particularly the various exemptions that the various political interests have been able to over the years install in the tax code is probably the most politically sensitive thing out there. And so since I've been an adult, I've been cognizant of these things, and certainly beforehand, every politician has talked about simplifying the tax code, making it more fair, yet nothing ever seems to happen in terms of simplification. And whether or not it's fair is really a question of your own political disposition. I don't see how some of these deductions that the president has talked about removing could ever happen. I just don't see how that could happen. I don't see how the mortgage interest deduction could be taken away, the real estate property interest deduction, the deduction for municipal bond interest payments, or the deduction for charitable gifts. I don't see how those things can be taken away, any of them, quite frankly. It's hard enough for them to play with the rates, but to go after those political interest groups just seems to me terribly unrealistic.
I agree. You have to consider how strong some of the lobby groups are on the real estate side.
Speaking of real estate, can I just ask a quick question? Negative equity, I noticed in Katie's report yesterday, she said it's really not being addressed by the government. Is there anything you would recommend, Tony? What can we do to try to get a foundation back under the real estate market? Because that seems to be plaguing everything right now. And do you have any suggestions or thoughts in that regard?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, we look at the various indices for real estate values, and they keep dropping. Mm-hmm. And we still have a big shadow inventory of real estate out there that the banks own that are homes that have been short sailed out, or homes that haven't been foreclosed yet, or homes that are in the process of foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no silver bullet to this. It's just a question of job creation and income and wage growth. And it's a delevering process. There was a huge speculative bubble in residential real estate. It got ahead of itself, and now it's reversing. And the only way for that to follow its natural course is for supply and demand to eventually set a new level for prices, and for demand to start coming back into the market at a point where job growth and aggregate income and wages can support new demand for homes. And that process probably in the fifth or sixth inning right now.
But a lot of those loans were based on obviously the bubble or the inflated real estate values. Is there a way perhaps we could ask the banks to try and, you know, Greece is taking a haircut, and maybe ask the banks to refi a lot of these loans at lower, you know, at current rates, giving consumers a break? And I mean, there are some loan modification programs in place. Apparently, you know, B of A isn't all that enthused about them. Is there something we can do with to get the banks to help to cooperate in this? Well,
the banks are under a lot of pressure from a lot of different angles. The banks are being required to build up their balance sheets so that if they find themselves in a scenario much like 2008 or 2009, they'll be in a position to maintain their solvency. And in fact, the bank stress tests that were released last night showed that it was four or five of the banks, I think it was five actually, of the banks failed the stress test.
Mm-hmm.
And so these banks are under a lot of pressure to be able to rebuild their balance sheets. They're also under a lot of pressure from shareholders to start paying dividends again, something. And the banks have to, the public companies, they can't ignore the fact that shareholders want to see some dividends at some point. And as you say, they're under a lot of pressure from the government in order to absorb more, essentially absorb more losses as a result of bad loans, particularly in the housing sector.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're in a tough spot, and I certainly don't think that they're going to unilaterally do anything unless they're required to by the government. So I don't see any anything in that direction at this point.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that's troubling is, you know, those robo-signed loans and the, you know, the forged documents. You know, I'm not too happy about, I don't think people are too happy about that. But anyway, we'll see where it shakes
out. I think the bigger question is, as we get towards the end of the year and the election results maybe become clearer, is this going to have a positive impact on the economy? That is to ask the question, will we even be able to predict if there will be any action taken by Congress on the Bush sunsets? Can we think we might have some certainty by the end of this year? Or are we going to just go into 2013, Tony, not even knowing what 2013 tax rules are for income tax or estate tax?
Well, I think it's going to depend on who wins the election. I think that if Obama wins, I think that the likelihood is that we will know by the end of the year, because what will happen is we will have, despite having a lame duck Congress, we will know that the president in the White House today is going to be the president in the White House after January 1st. And that will put the Congress in a position to get some stuff done. If, on the other hand, a Romney were to win the election, and he's obviously the presumed candidate now, despite the losses he suffered last night, which were largely expected, I think, in the South, then I think that I can't imagine anything getting done until he's actually in office, but then something would happen retroactive to the first. But given that Obama is expected to win at this point, I think that we'll have something during the lame duck session.
It would be nice if we did, I'll just say that.
Well, I'd rather have the alternative outcome and wait until January, but I guess that depends on your point of view.
Yeah, I didn't mean that from a political standpoint. It would just be nice to have some certainty. I'm not going to comment on who I want to win. I just want there to be some certainty, because I have so many confused people. And I ask them, if I could predict the future, I wouldn't be working for you. But anyway, Tony, we really appreciate your time. Happy sailing. When you get back out here to sail again, let us come out with you, and we can all be ballast or whatever it's called.
Yeah. My pleasure. We have to ask Dennis.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have to wrap up right here now, though, Tony. Thank you very much. Richard, thank you. Michael Quaranto from UBS, thank you. And thanks to Randy Cox, our technical director, Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to our programming genius here, Dave Sniff. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week on It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Hey, it's John from MojoPages.com. A lot of my friends have told me they've heard our commercials on 760 KFMB about how we make it fast, easy, and reliable for you to find the best local businesses. But they're still a little confused about what a business's mojo is. Mojo can mean a lot of different things, like Austin Powers used it to attract the opposite sex. It also describes a magical charm in African folklore. But for us, mojo is a score that we give to every business that ranks them from best to worst. So we can use this score to tell you who the number one dentist is in San Diego, the number one restaurant, the number one plumber, etc. We get the Mojo score by analyzing over 3 million customer reviews, and that's more than just about any other review site. We take all these reviews, we put them through a crazy mathematical algorithm, and it spits out the Mojo score for each business. Go ahead and try it for yourself at MojoPages.com. Hey, it's totally free, it's easy to use, and it'll help you find a great business. Go to MojoPages.com. Check Mojo, then go.
This is an election not only to replace the president.
Follow the conversation.
It's an election to save the soul of America.
760. Follow the leader. KFM.